Today on Ham Nation, Randy builds a bench, George builds a breakout box, and a PT boat special station with Don. It's time for Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 372, October 17th, 2018. Bob and Randy, live from Twit.
Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, and I'm not in my usual spot, but look where I am. We are at the Twit studio, and I'm so thrilled to be here. And Randy is along with us. We're on the way to PacificCon, but it's always kind of nice to add an extra day, and here we are.
Here we are. This is
pretty
great.
Cool, huh? And we'll talk more about that after a while, perhaps, but really glad to be here and see the great new studio. It's just fascinating what they did, and I joined Twit when they were still in the little cottage, so I've seen all three places, and it's pretty interesting what they did. But let's see who else is here tonight. I think George is here. Yes, George. And you've got Ray with you. How you doing, George? Everything okay?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. We're doing fine here. I found this guy over here at a trailer park. Well, it's not really a trailer park.
Yeah, driving through, headed up to Chattanooga, had some family events occur, so I wasn't able to go to PacificCon, so I'm taking Will's place, and Will's going to be there with you guys, Bob.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing he and everybody else at PacificCon. Don, how you doing? Everything okay in your world?
I'm doing great, Bob. I want to say hi to the folks listening on WTWW tonight. They got some cool stuff going on. If you like old-time radio, not old-time radio as in, you know, 40s and 50s, but we're talking 60s and 70s, Top 40, they have got some disc jockeys from the big stations, CKLW Detroit, WOR New York, KHJ Los Angeles, names like Big Jim Edwards, Grant Hudson, Jeff Lawrence, Steve Taylor, and those guys are all hams, just like you and me. And they're playing all the greatest hits of all time from that huge, great, big blowtorch at WTWW on 5085 and 158.10. And if you want to send them an email, you can do so. Email at WTWW.us. Send them signal reports and love notes and hate mail. They love it all. gonna tell you what ham radio and PT boats have in common coming up a little bit later on, Bob. It's going to be cool.
Okay. Well, we will be listening. And we have Amanda. How are you doing, Miss Pink?
Oh, we're doing excellent here. We cooled off. We've already had our first snow. Now we're going to warm up again. I think we're going to be in the mid-60s tomorrow. So that's going to be so much more enjoyable. And let's see what else is going on. Chat room, I'm going to be taking your questions. We're going to have Ray, George, Don. Bob, I don't know if you guys are going to be there until the end of the show.
Okay,
perfect. Yeah. So we'll be taking questions for everyone tonight.
Oh boy,
just
give
us a lot in the chat room. We're going to have some fun.
That'll be good. Well, I've had a fun week. I put up a new 160-meter dipole day before yesterday when it was the coldest day of the week. The day after, it was up to 65, but the day I did it, it was 45 to 50 back in the Ozarks. But I had time, so I did it, and it's working well. So I had one up, but it developed a problem. So the best thing to do is get rid of it and start over. So that's what we did, and I put up a new coaxial dipole, one of the ones from David. It's just – There's nothing like IAC's coaxial. They really know how to do this. And so I was glad to get that up. So everything else is running good. I brought this along because I wanted some of the guys here to see it. Here is the parametric receive system. And there's the front of it that you've seen so much of. And it really is doing its thing, I'll tell you. The amazing thing about it is that with the parametric mids, a lot of folks that have had a little hearing impairment, they can dial up just exactly what they need, and it's going to be a big help to them as well as everybody, because all of these receivers need some help in equalization of the audio. Here's another feature I did. It has two headphone amps, so we can put the left side and the right side. So if somebody has a little problem with balance, you can do that.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is to have an operator.
Yeah, and for field day. Yeah.
And yes. But here's a really cool thing. This is a record out. It's line level record. And I heard from one of the clubs that was they were doing a beta test on this. What they did was they got a guitar amp. It was a Fender guitar amplifier. And they took the line out of here into the guitar amp, put the monitor on in their transmitter so all the people that come by could be hear both sides of the conversation through that guitar amp. So I love it when guys and gals think, and those are things I didn't even think about. But yeah, because I have it in this project, it's there. Big power supply.
What's on the back here?
Yeah.
Everybody's always wants to see what the connectors are from the rear. Yeah. Cool.
There's only three connectors. We furnish a transformer for it. Just a 12 volt. It's not some wall wart thing. 12 volts. And then that goes into here where we condition that DC, then split it up into plus or minus 15 to run the voltage rails of the ICs. But the back end of it's really cool. I have more things than we probably need. We have three inputs. You can use an eighth inch just from your speaker out, or you can go into the 8-ohm if you want, or you can come out of your auxiliary and do a balanced line, and then coming out of here is a balanced line that will feed the speaker, and the speaker's another incredible piece. It's 25 watts at 0.1%, which is hi-fi level. And most of the speakers are pretty junky, and they're 1 watt with a lot of distortion. So I don't want to do that, and I didn't. And I didn't bring the speaker with me, but it's designed with some of the Paul Klipp stuff. I was very fortunate in my younger days to be a student of Paul's, and we tuned the cavity and all that. So it's here and happening, and DX Engineering, and I have some, and they're just kicking out the door. We're very fortunate that that it's working as well as it is. It's better than I planned, so be watching for it. Parametric receive audio system. It's a whole system. So that's what I have been doing. And now who knows where we're going from here. I have two projects I'm working on. I keep you posted on it. So if I need any help, I'll holler at you, George. You can come and help me solder. Can you do that?
I can solder as long as we've got an iron and I grab the right end of it. If I grab the wrong end,
it smells like chicken.
Yeah, all bets are off.
Okay. Well, let's see what Don's got cooking. I think he's got a bunch of things. So, Don, back down to your part of the country.
All right. Good to have you back on. I want to talk about buying a home for a second because, well, you're going to have someplace to string up antennas, right? Well, because of rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home these days, and it is the cause of a lot of anxiety, quite frankly. That's why our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about it. They are calling it the power buying process. And it's pretty simple, really. Step one, answer a few simple questions. They'll check your credit for a pre-qualified approval. Step two, Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and your credit in less than 24 hours to give you a verified approval. That gives you the strength of a cash buyer. Now, step three, once you're verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. That locks in your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. And the best part is, if the rates go up, your rates stay the same. But if the rates go down, your rates also drop. Either way, it's a win-win. It's kind of the thinking you would expect, quite frankly, from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records, equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That is rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Let's see what Randy has got going on. You've got some video of the new shack, I think, don't you, Randy?
Yeah, yes, I do. Yeah, it's just been a busy year. I checked and we had a new house built, so I went and checked the dates of when things were being built. Last year at this time, they were just putting the trusses up, so the outside walls were standing up, and the trusses were going on. And I remember it was raining all over the flooring that was in there. It wasn't plywood, but some type of other stuff, which is good for, I think, 90 inches of water. So anyway, we broke ground June last year. We moved in June this year or July. So it was about 13 months and just a lot of work to get things set up in the house. But now I'm moving into the ham shack more. And the first thing I'm really kind of working on is building my workbench. I don't have a radio up yet or an antenna. I got my workbench because I got this kit here I got my eyes on to build. Hopefully it'll be soon. QRP Labs has a new sideband QRP transceiver kit coming out. So it's, Hans Summers had this or has a CW transceiver. Runs about 5 watts, I think. It sells for $49, and he's sold over, the last I've heard, over 5,500 of those kits. So I'm really looking forward to the sideband one, and I want to be putting that together here. So the bench is basically now ready for that. So, and just unpacking and organizing things. So a couple weeks ago, I ran a video, and we showed you kind of around the room a little bit and some of the plans, and I guess we can run the video now of me working on the workbench a little bit. Hi, Randy, K7AGE, back to the workbench. First step here, I need to attach the tabletop to the metal leg. So I got my drill and my socket. Well, that was so much fun, I'll do another one. Time to get the red paint ready. So this is the final coat of red paint. I've got 6 of these legs. These will be the vertical supports for the shelves. I just about have one done. All right, this is number 6. Not really ham radio, but I guess it's a ham radio enabler for the workbench. It's not the most exciting part of the hobby, but I'm building something, I'm making something, repurposing some old, the existing workbench. Thank you, Dave. Making it mine. Making it the way I want. Putting in a few hours of work here. So, and I'm going to end up with something that's going to give me a lot of hours of enjoyment. And I'm looking forward to it being done. I can go on to something else. Like maybe building a kit. Red's done, and on to the whites. Chose to do white to make it brighter, help with the lighting, hopefully reflect some light around. Yeah, it'll probably get marked up, but hey, it's a workbench. So I finished the middle shelf, the bottom shelf, and now I'm working on the top shelf. I'll just keep at it. Okay, the paint's all dry on my red shelf legs, and I have one of the 2x4 basics brackets just slid over here. I'm going to set this so it's 24 inches from the top of this surface to the workbench top, and it'll be set back here so the shelf will come out to this area here. The top shelf will be up here, extends further out, which I don't think will bother my head, and that's where the
LED lamp fixture goes. Okay, the next thing is to mount these. They slide down over the tops, the 2x4s. So I have it all screwed together now with all the screws for the posts and the shelves. It's a little wonky, but that's going to improve when I put pegboard across the back. That'll stiffen it up. I'm also going to run leg bolts through the table up into the bottom of the 2x4s. So more work to do yet. I'm not done, but it's really looking good, and I'm quite pleased with it. I've done a little bit of work off camera. I cut the pegboard and mounted it on the back of the shelves, and it extends up a few inches past the top so things don't fall off the back. And what was left over from the cut of the big piece for the rear of the shelves, I cut end panels to go on the end of the 2x4 supports. So today's project is to finish this basically up for this video. I got my hole saw here, and we're going to cut some holes in the back so I can pass cables through the back. I want to mount my LED light underneath here and probably mount a couple plug strips to get going. So let's continue. Okay, I have all my holes drilled in the back, and the way I've got my bench laid out here is that this section here is where my test gear will be stacked up. So I don't need a lot of light shining on the fronts of the displays and the readouts and things. So I'm going to put the light kind of centered on this side, and I'm out up there, and it'll provide me a lot of light, and it lights up the surface nicely across the whole work area and to about 6 inches into the back there. So I think this will be good. There we go, latched in. Okay, I'm gonna mount this plug strip in this spot here. Well, that wraps it up for this video. I got my holes drilled, my light mounted. I got one plug strip installed. I have to dig up some more from my boxes from the move, and I'll get those installed. I need to get the vacuum cleaner out and clean up the sawdust mess from drilling all those holes. And, you can follow me on Twitter at K7AGE, and I'll be back with another video. I'm not sure what or when, but hopefully it won't be too long. Again, thanks for watching. This is Randy, K7AGE. So there's my new bench, and I saw in the chat room somebody was asking about those black things. Those are from 2x4basics.com. They have those, and they have another plastic thing to build workbench legs out of. They can be a little tricky to work and try and get everything square and flat. That's why I used plywood so this time. So, George, pretty soon I'll have a bench set up, you know, looking like yours.
Well, except you've actually got shelves to put your test equipment on. You better cover that up, right?
We yeah. Don't want anybody, can't anybody see what
you were looking at there? a nice bench, Randy. I like that.
It's been a long time since I've had a dedicated electronics bench, probably almost 25 years. So I'm tired of working on projects in front of the radios. I'm always scared about a little bit of solder flying up and going on the display of the radio and making a mess out of it. So it's nice to have a protected area and a place where I can spread out. So really looking forward to a lot of projects there.
Yeah, how about that, Bob? That's nice, isn't it?
I wish I had the room to do that. That would be nice, and then the time to be there and play with it. But yeah. We'll have to come back, and after some time, Randy, we'll have to come back and see how you scratched it all up.
Well, it's a used bench. The thing's probably 30 years old, so there's a few scratches on it, so okay. I don't have to worry about that.
Well,
it's broken in.
What a great job. That's super. Mm. We know who to come to if we want to build a bench. Great.
But that bench looked too nice and neat. That's a sign of a sick, twisted mind.
Yeah, you saw mine coming in. That's not an issue at all.
Well, I've been sitting over here looking at it, shaking my head and looking at what Randy was showing, and boy, what a contrast between the two.
Yeah, mine has been kind of cluttered for a while. I need to clear off and make a path through there so I've got a place to work again.
That's great.
Well, Ray, what brings you to town?
Well, on my way up to the Chattanooga Ham Fest, was supposed to be meeting Gordo and Bob and everybody at Pacificon, but my wife's about to have her first granddaughter and thought that the due date was closer to November 1st, but found out it's been moved forward. So I don't dare try to fly back from California. It'll be easier to drive from Chattanooga to Oxford, Mississippi. So headed up there, and then Will's going to be taking my place in Pacificon.
Yeah. So Jackson's just kind of on the way.
Sort of, kind of, roundabout.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you stopped in today. There's a lot we can't talk about, but there is something new we can talk about, isn't it?
Yes, sir. We've been, since Dayton, we've been talking about things that we've been doing in the community, like sponsoring Ham Nation, Amateur Logic TV, a lot of the different video podcasts. We just added on one for Puerto Rico as well, so it's in Spanish, talking about ham radio in the Caribbean, emergency communications, things like that. They've got a real good group that's educating the general public about ham radio and how useful it was after Hurricane Maria. Mm-hmm. But we just launched a website that allows ham clubs and ham fests to register, and we'll do drawings like we do for Ham Nation for swag prizes, radio prizes, and I don't know if it would be a booby prize or if it would be a grand prize, but an ICOM booth or an ICOM presentation at either club meetings or at the Ham Fest.
That's neat. We've got a link there, I believe, that Victor can show us. There it is.
So there again, this is the landing page for it, Calling All Hams. One half of it is for club presentations. And, George, I think I see the back of Tommy's head there.
Oh, yeah, that was, let's see, that must have been shot in Lafayette.
Yes, sir. So looking at trying to do more of those type events. And then there's Will for the HamFest Net. There again, just register the club, get the information in there and random drawings. And then when Will and I are on our travel schedule, we can take a look at what clubs are in the area. And if it coincides with a particular club date, hey, we can swing in there, do a presentation on some of the new things that I was showing you that we'll see in a few years, or with the 9700.
Well, you know, clubs and HamFest are always looking for content, and this sounds like a good way to maybe get some.
I hope so, and we're also going to be doing what Bob, Gordo, and you have been doing, and I think Don has as well, and if we can't travel there, we'll do it via Skype.
Mm-hmm. And what was the actual address?
It's icomamerica.com/hams, H-A-M-S.
Well, that's easy enough to remember.
And one of the other things, speaking of the 9700, I'm trying to get my hands on one for the VHF contest in January. The thing is, it's the first weekend of Quartz Fest. So I'll be bringing, I'm hoping, a 9700 to Quartz Fest. And Randy, you'll get to play around with the radio as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I noticed you found an antenna in your trunk that you can use with it, huh?
Yeah, I was explaining to George earlier, after WRTC 2018 in Germany, a lot of the WRTC contestants have been doing on Facebook this joke, found in my trunk. And I found a three-element LFA six-meter antenna. I was showing George... gosh, I can't think of Karsten's call sign now. DM3EE. He found a huge filter array for his contest station. He's got a hotel with two beautiful towers, Yagi stacked on top of them, and they're about to do a youth on the air contest using a couple of ICOM 7851s, amplifiers, and going to put forth a real good effort with youngsters. I mean, in their teens to early 20s for CQ Worldwide sideband coming up.
And that looked like a great place to stay during your European vacation. You'll want to swing by there and stay because, hey, they got those nice rigs, towers, and antennas already set up and waiting.
And he calls it the DX Hotel, so.
Yeah. So, anything else? What other trips or events do you have planned for the near future?
Well, we're about to get into our slow season. December really gets slow, but then January kicks off. In the past, January has been down to Puerto Rico, but the facility was heavily damaged. In Maria, they haven't quite gotten it back on their feet, but as soon as they do, I'm looking forward to going again. But headed out to Quartz Fest. February will be Orlando, and then getting prepared for Hamvention.
Wow. You know, I need to line up to make it to Orlando one of these years.
Come on down.
I haven't been to that Ham Fest yet. I just hear too many good things about it.
It's been a fun show.
Well, so when I want to know when you're going to bring that new rig around here and we can set it down here on the table and let everybody have a firsthand look at it.
I'm not really sure. Hopefully March timeframe.
Okay. And you'll do some splaining.
Yes, sir. Very much so. We'll take our time to go through that radio. And it's been interesting. We always hear anything on YouTube needs to be 10 to 15 minutes. But it's amazing the number of people that come up to me at a show that said they went through our whole hour and 15 minutes of the 7100 or the 7700. A lot of people really liked learning about that radio. So I think we'll continue to take our time and go through it. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be arm wrestling you or Tommy, but I'm going to the gym.
It'll be me.
It'll be you this time. Oh, so you're the VHF guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're interested in a rig or if you've already got it, that is really helpful stuff because there's so much that can be on a radio these days. We appreciate you coming here and, you know, stepping us through it, showing us the fine points in there and little neat features that otherwise might take you a long time to just stumble across because nobody reads the manual.
No, they don't at all. And it does get to be fun. Sometimes we have to go back and edit it because not everything flows real well. But this radio is really exciting. There's been a lot of questions about it. We do have it on the ICOM America page. Go to the base stations. It's listed in the first icon across the top. And that's as much information that we have on it right now. The one thing that I'm excited about for it is that there's an Ethernet jack. And while some of the radio manufacturers are just now putting USB ports on the radios, we're now putting Ethernet, so you don't have to have a separate computer to control it. You can just configure it to your router and then use the remote software.
I really like that. You know, when they release a new firmware for my 7700, to where it enabled that Ethernet jack to do remotes and, you know, no longer a computer required sitting right there beside the rig. That made a lot of difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been playing around with my R30, a little portable receiver, and it was surprising. We now have an iOS app to control it.
Wow.
And earlier this month, they released the Android app for it. So this was the first times that the iOS came out before the Android, and it's all Bluetooth.
Yeah.
So there's no wires attached to it. So that's pretty cool to do it.
Yeah. Well, Ray, anything else I know there's a lot of stuff we can't talk about. You guys seem to be just really, you got the R&D happening.
It's been crazy to see the technology that they have been cranking out. I saw somebody in chat room mentioned about the USB 3 port being activated on the 7610. The setup that I'm doing in Chattanooga, I'm experimenting right now with how we will change our booth for Dayton to be able to show all of these new things that are that is being incorporated in the radio. And some of the things that were 15 to 18 months away is just mind-boggling what's coming on. So the technology that they're developing in their product is just phenomenal.
Well, we're really looking forward to learning more about it, and I guess we'll be looking for the 9700 first. Did I get the number wrong?
No, you got it right.
I got it right. We'll
I'm
be
just
looking
gonna
for
see
that
when,
first.
Because, you know, people are going to be calling up and emailing, well, they said on Ham Nation, so be careful on the release date.
Yeah, we don't know the release date, but we know it's coming.
It is. It has not been submitted for FCC yet. It's still in R&D. So I'm hoping to have many units by Dayton.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, I've got one little video here tonight. You know, about, I don't know, I guess it was 6 years ago, I was talking about breakout boxes. Well, Bob was too. He started the conversation, and then I got into it too and built a breakout box to work with my IC 7000, but it'll also work with a lot of other ICOM rigs. And that's been 6 years. And, you know, since then, we've made a lot of new hams. Got a lot of new viewers and a lot of old ones that maybe, I don't know, could use that information again that's the way I like to operate here. I mean, a hand mic's okay, but, you know, I like to get in there. I use a mixer. A lot of folks don't. But, you know, if for digital modes, any need you got where you really kind of want to get down in the audio guts of the rig, this is the way to go. So let's look at that video.
Most rigs have DIN connectors on the rear that are used for connecting external equipment. This DIN connector here is a 7-pin, and you'll notice that it has holes in each pin so that you can tin your wire, slip it down in there, and then solder it. Now, you need to be aware that just because it's a 7-pin does not mean it will fit your rig. There are different configurations of these connectors, and you might have the same number of pins, but they could be lined out differently on the connector. So be aware of that when choosing the right connector for your rig. Now, some connectors, like this 13-pin, have so many pins and they're so small that there's not room to put a hole in the top. In this case, you'll have to put a little bead of solder on top of these pins and then solder your wire to it. You can reach this with the soldering iron. I've already done this connector, but I wanted to show you that it is possible. You just get the finest tip that you can find, and it will fit right in there on top of the connector pin. Now, it's best to do the wires that are in the center of the connector first and then work your way toward the outside. You'll also notice that I put heat shrink tubing over these wires, and that's because when you heat the wire, it'll often cause the insulation to shrink back. So I used the heat shrink so that after I had soldered the wires down, I could pull the heat shrink over the exposed wire and then not have naked wires hanging out loose in the connector to short out. If you purchase a new ICOM rig, it will come with a pigtail already soldered to the 13-pin DIN connector. You can look in the manual and you'll find the color code for these wires to translate it to pin numbers, and this will help you get going a lot quicker. Today we're going to build a breakout box for the ICOM IC7000, so we look in the manual and we find the 13-pin DIN accessory connector. Pin 2 is ground. Pin 11 is the modulator input where we would feed audio from our mixer into the rig. And pin 12 is the AF detector output that we would feed to an amplifier to a speaker. Now, ground is pin 2, and if we look at the table, that's going to be red. Not sure why they chose red for a ground. The modulator input is pin 11, and that's the pink wire. The detector output is pin 12, and that's the light blue wire. And the push-to-talk wire goes to pin 3, and that one's orange. You should be aware that there's no standard for the 13-pin DIN connector. Some rigs don't even have it. The Yaesu FT2000 here does not have the 13-pin DIN. In this case, you'd get your audio in and out on another connector on the rig. The Kenwood TS2000 does have a 13-pin DIN. However, the pinout's different than it is on the ICOM. The pinout can even vary among different models from a single manufacturer. For example, the TS450S has pin 12 connected to the modulator. I don't think the TS2000 even has a modulator. Before we begin, let's take a look at the schematic. Pin 2 is ground and goes to the ring of each connector. Pin 3 is push to talk. Pin 12 is audio out. And pin 11 is audio in. Let's get started building our breakout box. So we'll use the 13-pin DIN with a pigtail that ICOM supplied with the IC7000. And for a box, I'm going to mount all this in an Altoids 10. Now, it's kind of small, so there's not room for the quarter-inch jacks that Bob had used, so I'll use these mini plugs instead. You can use whatever type of connectors you'd like. You might want to use two of the same for audio and a second type for the push-to-talk so you don't get them confused. But I'll use three mini plugs for all of this. First, we'll decide where we're going to mount our connectors, and I think I'll put them down the side here. And we'll run our cable in the end of it. Let's mark the spots on the box where we want to punch holes. Now, I could drill these out with the drill, but this is such thin material, I'm going to use my hole punch instead. Now we'll prepare our connectors by tinning each terminal. I had originally planned to use a grommet around this wire where it goes through the hole to keep it from cutting through the insulation. However, the grommet is going to be too big to fit in the box and the lid close at the same time. So instead, I'll put two or three layers of heat shrink tubing around the jacket of the cable to protect it. The ground terminals of the connectors are all common, so we'll tin a piece of wire and use that as a bus to connect them together. Now, with the aid of the solder buddy, we'll connect our wires to the tips of the connectors. The pink will be the input wire, the light blue will be the audio output wire, and the orange will be the push-to-talk. Now, that looks great, doesn't it? But I forgot one important step. I needed to put the wire through the hole in the box first. Nothing to do but to go back and remove them and do it again. This time, we'll make sure that the wire is already through the hole before we begin. And you may notice the other bundle of wires that I'm not using. I put a piece of heat shrink tubing over the end of those to keep them from shorting out against the box. Now that we've got all the connections made, we can mount the jacks inside the box. To keep our cable from pulling out of the box, we'll put a tie wrap on the inside and tighten it down real tight. Everything fit together nicely. Now, to prevent the wire from twisting, we could take a little hot glue or other good glue and put on the inside here next to the cable to keep it from spinning. There's only one thing left to do, and that's to label the project so we know which cable goes in which connector. We're using mono mini jacks in this project, but you should be aware if you're using a three-conductor stereo plug like this, only the sleeve and the tip are connected. the ring is not used. So that means that there's only going to be audio coming out of one of the RCA cables at the end. On this particular cable, the tip is connected to the white. However, it might be different on other cables, so check it with your ohmmeter. Now let's test our breakout box. As before, we can simply turn up the volume control on the rig to listen through the normal speaker. Now let's listen off our amplifier, which is connected to the breakout box. You'll notice that turning the volume control on the rig has no effect on the volume coming from the amplifier. When we're ready to talk, we can just hit the push-to-talk switch we've connected, and we're transmitting with the rig. Now, our hand mic is still connected, so if we want to use it, we just hit the push-to-talk, speak in the microphone, and then our audio comes from that source. So there you have it, the audio interface breakout box.
And that is a handy thing to have. My IC7000, though, is not on the bench in the shack in here anymore. It's in the mobile.
Yes,
that was a few years ago that I did that there. So I don't use a breakout box in the mobile. No mixer in there yet.
Yet.
Anyway, got some things to give away here. You know, last week we looked at the new ARRL handbook. Have you seen that yet, Ray?
The
six
only
volumes?
Only through what you were showing on Ham Nation, yeah.
And so that, it's a great, great handbook. I like what they did there. It really makes it easier to find stuff. But that brought up a question for this week, and the question was, when was the first ARRL handbook published? And we had a winner. It was Brett Glass, WY7BG. He said the ARRL handbook for radio communications was first published in 1926. And he says there's a local ham that has a copy in near mint condition.
Wow.
I would like to see that.
Means he didn't read it a whole lot if it's in mint condition.
I guess not. Yeah. It's still got the plastic wrapper.
Because I think back at that time, that would have been cutting-edge technology. And yep. I hear Bob laughing, but I'm not going to make any jokes about him using that many years ago as a kid.
Okay. That's right.
Well, we're going to send Brett a DX Engineering sport bag. Not this one. This is mine. I'm keeping it. But a great bag for travel, going to the Ham Fest, going to special events.
I'm thinking it'd be a good case to carry a couple of Heil headsets and the speaker and that receive mixer he's got.
Yeah.
Fit in there just nicely.
Receive system. That,
yes.
That would fit in there. It'd just about fill it out. We just need an IC7100 to go in there as well.
No, 7300.
7300.
Yes, okay. That's right. If you're going to do it, do it.
It's going to be putting an awful lot in this bag, though. Maybe we could squeeze it all in there.
Yeah.
Well, for next week, I've got something else to give away here. And that's going to be one of these MFJ 270 Garden Angel surge suppressors. Did I say garden angel? Guardian angel
there. Here, let me.
Yeah, my hand model here is
yes.
displaying it. That's a MFJ surge suppressor. It's a gas block surge suppressor. Great for keeping static electricity and lightning out of your gear. They're good from DC to 1 gigahertz. Not only 0.1 dB insertion loss, and there's two different models of it. One's good for 400 watts PEP, the other for 1500 watts. If you'd like to win that, well, we talked about the DIN connector tonight. I want to know who standardized the DIN connector. Who came up with that standard? If you think you know the answer for that and you're not eligible.
Well, I'm baffled at this point. I'd have to be using Mr. Google there to look it up.
Okay. Well, if you think you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And, hey, you might win one of these MFJ Guardian Angel surge suppressors. Well, we'll be back right in a moment. But first, I think we've got a message from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of contest season with these transceivers. The competitive edge you've been looking for, raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this flagship HF 50 MHz transceiver, the IC7851. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The IC7610 is the SDR every ham wants and just in time for contesting season. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receiver, dual digicell. IC7300 is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Register to win for great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for October, that's the ICOM IC2730A dual band, dual watch analog transceiver. It does 50 watts on both VHF and UHF. Has a large high contrast LCD display, built-in weather alert function, very easy to operate, and there's an optional Bluetooth board available for it, and that rigs at a very attractive price. So after this episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And you may remember that radio I've been sitting behind here for several weeks now.
Yes, for your 13th.
For the Amateurlogic 13th anniversary. Well, I told you we were going to give that away. That would be the last time you'd see it. Well, it's gone.
Yes.
We had a winner. We awarded our winner Saturday night. It was Sarah Clark, K4EMT. And I know her and her husband are really going to enjoy that radio.
I heard she was a little excited for it.
I heard she was it incredibly? I think maybe that's the word she used. But congratulations, Sarah. You're going to like that rig. You're going to like the Heil ICM microphone and BM-17 headsets that go with it, the MFJ power supply and antennas. And well, she's already an extra, so she's going to have to take Gordo's book and
spread the love, sure.
Spread the love, yeah. Get somebody else into the hobby or help them to upgrade.
Hey, George.
Yes.
I got a really nice picture from her and her husband.
Oh, yeah?
We had met at Dayton last year. And I remembered it when I saw it. Yeah, so she's very thrilled, let me tell you. So we had a nice chat on the email, but we're really happy for her. And we'll have to get her on the show maybe. We'll have to do that, huh?
Yeah. I think so. And Amanda may have a photo of her that we'll see here in a little bit.
Good.
But I know they're excited to get that one on the air. So
I know I would be.
Yeah, and thanks ICOM and Heil Sound and MFJ and Gordo for making the contest possible. We, you know, like I mentioned on the show the other night, if it was up to Tommy and me, we would probably be giving away that spark gap that we built in Ham College.
Cause,
you know,
man,
be about the best we could come up with. Well, I believe Don is standing by with the latest ham radio news of the week. Don, tell us what's going on.
We've got that, and we've got information from Dr. T, and I will tell you what PT boats and ham radio have in common right after we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline, which is right now.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2137, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. As Newsline went to air, Hurricane Michael was raking across the Florida Panhandle and the Southeast U.S. Ham Radio is involved in the recovery efforts, and they will be ongoing for quite some time. We'll have updates as the story continues to unfold. Meantime, our next story celebrates a silent key who music fans may have only known through a song lyric.
Music lovers of a certain age will remember Buddy Holly's classic hit Peggy Sue from 1957, and certainly Texans of a certain age might even have known Peggy Sue Guerin, the young girl from Lubbock, Texas, who inspired the rockabilly number. Amateur radio operators of a certain age, however, may remember Peggy Sue as the former K5PSG. First licensed as KE5AKW in 2004, she was able to get the vanity call later. She wasn't exactly an aspiring ham, however, when her former high school classmate Holly turned her into a song lyric. Holly died in 1959 in a plane crash that killed two other rock and rollers. When she took part in the special event station W5B in Lubbock, which commemorated Holly in 2004, she was hooked and got her ticket later that year. Though her license expired in 2014, we can still consider Peggy Sue Guerin a silent key. She died on October 1st at the age of 78. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Parachute Mobile. It's what a team of skydiving hams for whom going on the air means being in the air are calling themselves.
They are holding the last of this year's missions on the 20th of October to coincide with Pacificon. While the hams make their jumps from a small plane elsewhere, the team will have a presence at the Marriott Hotel, where a GOTA station will be set up to help convention goers make contact with the skydivers. Two overhead monitors will also live stream the action as the jumps happen, starting at 10 a.m. local time. This will be Mission 33, and the jumpers will be Mark AF6IM and Rob KC6TYD, using their own call signs as they call QRZ from beneath their parachutes. They'll be operating on 146.430 Simplex, 14.250 on HF, and on Echolink at NE6RD-L. Hams who make contact are being asked to send an email to skydivinghams@gmail.com with details such as the jumper's name, the jump number, and the time of contact. This wraps it up for the team for this year. So in this case, the team truly is jumping to conclusions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
This is the busiest time of the year for the young hams in radio scouting.
This week in Radio Scouting, we're 1 week away from the largest scouting event in the world. Jamboree on the Air is the weekend of October 19th through the 21st. All bands and all modes look and listen for CQ Jota. If you're an amateur and have not gotten involved yet, contact your local club. If your local club is not participating and you still want to, contact your local scout council and see what may already be planned in your area and how you can help. You can find your council using the council locator on the scouting.org website. If nothing is currently planned or if current plans aren't reaching your area, you can work with the council or a local unit, pack, troop, or crew to set up a Jota station or arrange for visits to your ham shack. You can also participate just by making QSOs with the many Jota stations that will be on the air. Currently registered stations around the world is approaching 3,000, while stations in the U.S. is approaching 400. Get your station locked in today and get registered through our shortcut at jota2018.k2bsa.net. For more information on Jota or radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Andy Morrison, K9AWM, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have a northern coronal hole that is going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone and possibly bringing us some activity. And two bright regions on the Earth-facing sun are boosting solar flux and firing many solar storms. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week is definitely calming down a little bit. Last week, we got hit by some fast wind from a coronal hole that brought us up to storm levels for a short while and did bring us some aurora. But since then, we've been dealing with kind of a remnant coronal hole. It's brought us some pockets of fast wind and kept us pretty much at unsettled conditions. And now it's pretty much a waiting game. We have a northern coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone. And if it looks familiar, yes, it is. We've seen this one last month. It hit us and it did bring us up to storm levels from the fast wind from it. This month, it's not looking quite as wide and it's not coming quite as far down in latitude. So we're not necessarily expecting all that much from it. Probably some activity, maybe storm levels, especially if one of these eruptions that I've seen up there actually precedes it. So it's kind of hard to say, but we are getting little mini solar storms. We've got two bright regions on the Earth-facing disk that have been boosting the solar flux. And if you watch them, they're also firing little mini solar storms. So it's interesting, the activity we're seeing. These ones aren't Earth-directed, but we will wait for that fast wind from that coronal hole to hit us, and we could get some more aurora. Switching to your M-Flare threat meter, you can see we're still incredibly low when it comes to the X-ray flux, and therefore by proxy, the solar flux is still low. We're well below the B floor when it comes to X-ray flux. And when those two regions rotated onto the Earth-facing disk, we did manage to pop a few small flares starting around the 12th. And that's actually when we were firing a couple of the mini solar storms as well. But this activity has managed to keep us into the marginal range for radio propagation. We hope the activity continues so that these regions remain bright enough to give us enough solar flux to keep us up. Meanwhile, we're probably going to last maybe the next 3 days or so, maybe a little bit longer before things begin to tank a little bit and we'll drop back down into poor radio propagation. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see we actually hit some storm levels back on the 7th. This was due to a coronal hole, a big one, that we had seen the month before. And that time it had actually brought us to G2 levels. Well, this month we didn't quite make it to G2 levels, but we did get some decent storming that brought us aurora in many parts of the world. And then after that, it just didn't settle down as we expected, and it kept us at active conditions for days upon days. It even popped us up to storm conditions again right around October 11th before things finally began to settle down. And then after that, we bumped back up to storm conditions again from another coronal hole, which is much smaller, which last time we talked about wasn't going to last quite as long, and that's what happened. And then things have settled down, and that's kind of where we are now. We're kind of in a waiting game for this next coronal hole to rotate into the Earth strike zone, and we could easily start seeing storm conditions, or at least active conditions, starting around the 19th. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that fast wind from that northern coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone. And luckily, this is not our first dance with this coronal hole because it hit us last month as well. So we have an idea of what to expect. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting minor storm conditions with about a 55% chance of a major storm. Now, at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting active conditions this time with about a 20% chance of a minor storm. But there is what looks to be a stealthy solar storm or reasonably stealthy solar storm launching from that region right now, which could enhance these effects, and it could actually cause the storm to hit a little bit earlier than anticipated. But expect something by the 19th, maybe a little bit earlier, if this stealthy solar storm actually does enhance the effects and really does turn out to be a true eruption. Now, on top of that, we would expect that these conditions will last easily through the next day, maybe even through the entire weekend before things settle down, because we are still pretty close to the fall equinox, and that in of itself helps to enhance effects. So expect, if you're an amateur radio operator, you might have a little bit of a bumpy weekend, but if you're an aurora photographer, make sure you keep your batteries charged. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is still in the green when it comes to solar flares. We do have two bright regions on the Earth-facing sun right now, but neither of these are M-flare players, so no, we have no risk for radio blackouts, and that should make you GPS users quite happy. Now, these regions are keeping the solar flux into the low 70s, and that should make you amateur radio operators and emergency responders quite happy as well, especially the first responders responders to Hurricane Michael, because this means that radio propagation is hanging on barely to the marginal levels. And this will continue easily over the next few days, possibly over the next 5 days, before things begin to tank a bit on the Earth's day side. Now, the night side might not be so happy with these solar storms, but the day side, you should be pretty good. Now, also because we are so close to solar minimum, we are dealing with a higher penetration of cosmic rays than we normally would. So this means you frequent flyers, and that includes the air crew that fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes. You are now in marginal range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So space weather this week is a bit of a waiting game. We're anticipating the hit from some fast wind from a northern coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here in the next couple days. And it should bring us some storming, probably starting the early part of the weekend, and it could last through the weekend. Now, we know we should be reaching active conditions because we've done the dance with this one before, but we might even bump up to storm levels, which could bring us aurora down to mid-latitudes, at least for a short while. So your aurora photographers, definitely keep your batteries charged. Now, amateur radio and shortwave radio operators, we should be very happy because we do have two bright regions on the Earth-facing disk right now. They're actually firing off little mini solar storms, which is keeping us scientists kind of got our eyes on it. But it's also bumping the solar flux up back into the 70s, which means we have marginal radio propagation on Earth's day side. So you guys should have some decent propagation and some decent communications, at least on the day side, even when things get a little bit dicey on the night side during that solar storm this weekend. Now, GPS operators, well, you guys should be liking life pretty much. It's, things aren't too bad. There's no radio blackouts. Earth's day side looks pretty good for you. And as long as you stay away from the dawn dust terminators and away from aurora, your GPS reception should look pretty good. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Make sure you follow her on Twitter, because she always has up to the second, it seems like, information. I don't think the lady sleeps. I really, really don't. All right, I was going to tell you what PT Boats and Ham Radio have in common, besides being together on this hat, hard to see, but that says PT305 and WW2NO. The WW2NO is a special event station. In fact, it's the World War II Museum in New Orleans ham radio station, as done by the Jefferson Amateur Radio Club. And here you can see we were set up Saturday for a special event. We had a ICOM 7100 and a bunch of stuff in the go box there. We were using some hamstick dipole on 20 and making some contacts there. And right on the other side of that wall is this. That is PT305. It is the world's only restored operational PT boat. And you can ride it. Yes, they have it out in Lake Pontchartrain. That is in the boathouse. You'll see the water coming up behind it. And it is operational, and they do give rides on it. So if you're ever in New Orleans, make sure you visit the National World War II Museum and come out to the Lakefront Airport, South Shore Harbor area, because that is where that boathouse is. There you can see the water behind it. They'll back it right out and take it right into Lake Pontchartrain. And that was built by Higgins Industries. Higgins also did the landing craft, the World War II landing craft that you all remember seeing in the newsreel footage, dropping the troops off at D-Day, those square front boats going into the beach and then the bows dropping down and the troops rushing off. Those are called Higgins boats, and they are very much responsible for winning World War II for the U.S. and the Allies. There were three manufacturers for PT boats. Higgins was one of them, and that's a Higgins boat. And it actually was sea tested in Lake Pontchartrain before it went over to active service. So there you go. Jefferson Amateur Radio Club does that, and they're a great group, and I want to thank them for letting me come out and play. So there you go. That was a lot of fun. And I got a nice hat, a PT305 WW2NO hat. I shall wear it proudly. Amanda, how do you like my hat?
I love the hat. Love it. And I think you had a ton of fun. And I'm sorry.
Oh, my Lord.
Ugh, I was trying to show something off, and then Delta says, I want that, Mom. That's
well,
fine.
Hello, Delta.
Hi, Delta. One of our Ham Nation viewers sewed me this little Colorado Rockies bear, and it's the sweetest thing ever. They sent it to me. His sister lives in Denver, and they sew bears for the children's hospital that, oh, no, Delta, no, no, drop it, drop it. And it's a stuffed bear, right? So Delta's addicted to it. That's why she's up here. Good girl. Good girl. Anyhow, thank you, Georgia. Let me see. His call is KB4OQU, Georgia. You guys are awesome. And I'm going to send him a donation so that they can keep making those stuffed bears for other kids in the hospital. All right. Let's get to some questions here. I got a ton of them. And let's see. So, Bob, this gets asked a lot. And because we always get new viewers, they never know the answer to this. So I'm going to ask you again. How come purple is your signature color?
I can't tell you, but there might be a guy.
Because he looks so good in purple. He looks so good in purple. I like the nice RCA microphone.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a ribbon mic.
Yeah, it's no, it's a PR40.
I know
there.
What it is. Yeah. I know you, Bob. I don't think you use ribbon mics.
Well, there's been a whole bunch of questions tonight in the chat. You really need to email me. Don't get in trouble in trying to plug things into the front of these radios because they have phantom power. And oh my gosh,
this is so purple. So,
you like it?
It's purple.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I mean, well, there, over there on the vector scope.
There's a reason for it, but it's out there, but nobody ever figured it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's an actual reason?
Uh-huh.
And he's a secret Prince fan.
Yeah. No, it goes way
purple
before.
Purple Heil, Purple Heil.
But it comes before that.
I only want to see you when you're in the Purple Heil. It's before that, huh?
That's before that. Yeah, but nobody knows. Purple. What can I tell you?
Because you're royal.
No, not all these people we work with are.
Let me tell you, it has
this place is amazing.
I know.
It's the first time I've seen it.
Well, it's kind of the same as the old one, but we did keep, the fantastic AM transmitter there.
Yeah.
I love that. Here. Yeah. I stole the meter, though.
The meter, yeah.
I put that.
Durometer.
Yeah. I put that in my office.
Right.
But Bob Durow did the... that beautiful transmitter.
I want to publicly tell you, all of these thousands of people that are out there watching, we really appreciate what you do to give ham radio this particular.
I don't do anything.
Well,
thank you, Leo.
You're welcome. I don't do anything. Bob does all the work, and you guys do all the work.
They do the work. I'm not here half the time anymore, but just having the time and the Twit network to do all this, we appreciate it.
We're so glad to support amateur radio, as you know.
Well,
thank
you.
Yeah. I'm glad Randy could come in. That's nice. Good to see you.
We're on the way to
I thought you were going to be all alone.
No, we're going to Pacificon.
Oh, Pacificon, of course.
Yeah.
This is the fourth time I've done this trip.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, what else do you have, dear? I know you have, as I said, a lot of questions, and some of those, just email me, and we can take care of any of that. Okay,
so we're not going to address how to hook up the mixer question. I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's...
We're going to skip that. And yes, always email those individual questions. That way you don't do it wrong. I want to say hi to Bill Vaughn, who just got his license last week. Let's see. Bob, where did you get your dipole, your 160-meter dipole from again?
Dave and Jenna built it. It's a great company called IAC. International Antenna Corporation, and they build coaxial dipoles, and they're really great.
Don't believe him. David Sarnoff made it.
Yeah, Sarnoff, right.
Okay. Surplus,
Oh, God.
And Leo, since you're here, we're going to ask you, are you trying to get all of your employees there licensed, try to convince them to become hams as well? Come on.
Yeah, sure.
Do it for the cause.
Right, Victor? You're going to become a ham? Yeah.
We've been working on Victor.
I think they got confused because I said we were having ham for Thanksgiving, and they thought that meant all you guys were coming.
We can
so
come.
Got scared.
What time?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's funny. I do have an update.
Party.
I wanted to give this update from North Florida tonight. I got a hold of the public information coordinator. He says they now have 12 different operators deployed to shelters, and they're looking for additional operators. Do not self-deploy. Don't go out there and just help. Make sure you volunteer through their EC, first of all. Also, their main traffic they're passing is resource requests for shelters, basically begging for water, telling them they still don't have power, things like that. We're going to try to have these two on the show next week. Also, he said that there's about three counties still that have absolutely no communications except for amateur radio. Wow. So everything that we do, some of us, this is a, that's our calling, is that we go out in there and do it. I know a lot of us are also DXers and we want to talk around the world, but this is just another aspect of it. And we train for it. That's why you sign up to do your public service event, so that you can learn how to do this kind of stuff and do it right. Let's see. Another couple of questions I'm not going to address tonight because we have Leo here. So that's so much fun. And Don, did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, just it's nice to see Leo. We both work for the same company, iHeart. So it's nice to see a fellow employee on there. So
you come down to New Orleans. I talk to you about that intranet you guys got there.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, I just make the commercials. I'm not in charge of any of that.
It's great to see you, Don.
You too, buddy. Listen, you come down to New Orleans, you got to stop by and say hi.
Oh, I love New Orleans. We need to go. I haven't been in ages, and I really want to go again. Yeah.
Well, it's the next time the Super Bowl is here, maybe the 49ers will do a little bit better.
That's the last time we were there.
Oh.
Exactly. Yeah, it was really fun, too. I don't think Super Bowl is going to have the host the 49ers for some years.
No,
maybe
time,
huh, in New Orleans. When is the next Super Bowl in New Orleans? Do you know?
2020, I think, or 2021, 22, something like that. I think that's what they're talking about. Yeah, and we're walking distance from the dome, so you know what? Come on down.
I know exactly where you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I've got. I'm just happy to see Leo.
That's great.
I am too. I'm almost starstruck, honestly. It's been so long. And Leo, before the show started,
this is the star.
Your show that was on, we were learning about how to photograph in night scenes. I can't remember what show it was. I apologize. But also, then you started talking about your toilets. And that's where you won me.
I want to get the toilet sponsor on Ham Nation. I think you guys would do a great can.
Yeah.
I just remodeled my bathroom and I was like, why didn't I know about this? This would have been a cool addition. Just
next time you're in town, Amanda, you can come over and we'll show you our Toto.
Thank you. I get to see Toto. That's awesome. Thank you, Leo.
Luxury seating for one.
It's it's heated. It's very comfy.
Oh, God.
I'll make a reservation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we've been trying to get them as a sponsor for years.
Yeah,
that's
hilarious.
Finally did.
Finally got it. Yeah, that's great.
Now the whole network's going in the can.
Well,
okay, I'll make some net amount announcements before we get all crazy and out of hand here. I didn't see if the 40 meter net was going on, but the 80 meter net's going to be on 3908 by W7UDI. We have the digital nets. We have TAC 311 for DMR, D-Stars on 14 Charlie, and of course EchoLink on Dewdrop In. So those are taking place right now. Go ahead and get your check-ins done there. So, all right, now I'll let you all wrap it up.
Well, we can't wrap it up any better than having Leo with us. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
And
I
should have been here before now, but been a little crazy the last year or so in my life. But we're really thrilled to be here, and thanks for all you do for Ham Radio.
Our pleasure.
And,
our pleasure.
We'll see everyone back here next week. And in the meantime, keep up the good work on 75 and 40 and 160. Bands are not dead. Don't let anybody tell you that. So,
what happens if I stick my finger in this mixer here?
No.
No static. No static.
But there's that little thing there.
What thing? That's right. Okay. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you back here at the same time next week. And in the meantime, why keep the tubes warm and the transistors hot.
Yes,
right
sir.
On. Bye-bye for now.
7-3.
7-3.